Have you noticed how most predictions about the future sound either wildly fantastical or boringly obvious? Here's a refreshing truth. The best way to spot what's coming isn't by gazing into crystal balls or crunching massive data sets. It's by becoming exceptionally good at noticing what's already happening right now. Think of it like this. A Norwegian billionaire named Christian Ringnes collected 52,000 miniature bottles over decades. Instead of displaying everything at once, which would be overwhelming chaos, he showed just 20% at a time in Oslo's mini bottle gallery, transforming random objects into meaningful stories. That's exactly what great trend spotting looks like, taking the noise swirling around us and organizing it into patterns that reveal where we're headed. Most trend forecasts fail spectacularly. They're either too vague, mobile will be important, too obvious, people like convenience, or completely disconnected from anything actionable. The real skill isn't prediction, it's curation. It's about developing 5 specific habits that help you see connections others miss, then using a systematic method to transform scattered observations into powerful insights about our accelerating present. The future isn't hiding somewhere out there waiting to be discovered. It's emerging right now in the patterns all around us, visible to anyone who develops the right observational muscles and applies them consistently. Curiosity isn't a soft skill. It's a decisive advantage. In 986 AD, Bjarni Herjolfsson spotted North America but didn't explore it. 15 years later, Leif Erikson, driven by curiosity, became the explorer we remember. The difference wasn't opportunity. It was asking why and what if. Build this muscle by consuming brainful media, TED Talks over reality TV, niche magazines about unfamiliar topics, conversations outside your bubble. When encountering something strange, resist immediate judgment. Get curious about why it exists and who it serves. Being observant means noticing tiny details that reveal how the world works. Catch small shifts in behavior, values, and frustrations. Try explaining everyday things to children. Why do traffic lights change colors? How do stores decide what to stock? These questions force you to truly see processes you've stopped noticing. Put your phone away during routine activities. Watch how people move through spaces and solve small problems. These micro-observations become raw material for spotting larger patterns. Being fickle, in the best way, means capturing ideas without immediately analyzing them. Save weird articles, screenshot unusual products, bookmark surprising statistics. Use a single offline folder. When something catches your attention, spend 5 minutes capturing it, then move on. This prevents premature judgment and lets patterns emerge naturally when you review later. Being thoughtful means taking time before reacting. Write and rewrite before sharing. Embrace pauses to find the right words. Even waiting 15 minutes before responding to messages creates space for deeper thinking. This transforms knee-jerk reactions into considered insights people actually remember. Being elegant means describing complex ideas so simply that people immediately grasp them. Harvard professor Jeff Karp created surgical staples inspired by porcupine quills, making sophisticated innovation instantly understandable through perfect metaphor. Start with obvious observations, then take them somewhere unexpected. Keep descriptions short. Use metaphor and meaningful combinations that make ideas sticky and shareable. Most people think trend spotting means finding a needle in a haystack. The haystack method flips this. Gather the hay first, stories, observations, examples, then create the needle, the trend, that connects everything. It's a 5-step process, transforming random observations into powerful predictions. Gathering means systematically collecting interesting things year-round. Carry a notebook, save magazine clippings, book quotes, conversation insights, travel observations. Make this habitual, not sporadic. Look in unexpected places, obscure museums, niche publications, different industries, thought-provoking entertainment. Aggregating involves grouping ideas by bigger themes. Don't organize by obvious categories like industries or demographics. Ask deeper questions. What human need does this represent? What makes this emotionally resonant? How does this appear across different contexts? Healthcare apps, retail assistants, and financial tools might all help people make better decisions. That underlying theme matters more than specific industries. Elevating means identifying the broader concept, connecting your groups without becoming meaninglessly broad. If you notice apps helping people shop smarter, stores offering personalized recommendations, and price comparison tools gaining popularity, you might call this shoptimization, optimizing every shopping experience through technology and personalization. Naming your trend requires memorable precision. Use mashups, combination words, or twists on familiar phrases. The name should convey meaning instantly while being sticky enough to spread. Proving requires testing whether you have a real trend. Ask, is there published research? Are multiple outlets covering this? Can I find cross-industry examples? Will this continue forward? This often means abandoning beloved ideas, painful but necessary for credibility. 20,000 people flooded San Francisco's streets to help 5-year-old Miles Scott become Batkid for a day. This wasn't just heartwarming, it revealed what we all craved. Personalized, celebrity-like experiences. Disney invested $1 billion in magic bands that recognize guests by name. Intel created a Museum of Me, transforming Facebook profiles into interactive life stories. What connects these? The fundamental human desire to be recognized as individuals. Dale Carnegie knew this decades ago. A person's name is the sweetest sound they'll ever hear. Here's the surprising insight. Selfies aren't primarily about vanity. They're about control in a world where anonymous critics can destroy reputations instantly. When Caitlyn Saida's unflattering Halloween photo went viral, she fought back by controlling her own narrative through a retro pinup photo shoot. Research shows 65% of teenage girls report confidence boosts from flattering photos. For young women, especially, selfies provide practice at something they're otherwise discouraged from, declaring, "I think I look beautiful." Apps like Facetune let people perfect their images, and Cornell's social media lab shows we're actually moving toward authenticity, using these tools to become our best selves rather than creating fake personas. Meanwhile, the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl after incorporating mindfulness practices. Google has a Jolly Goodfellow teaching meditation to employees. Over 1,000 have completed his training. Silicon Valley has become ground zero for transforming meditation from mysticism into fitness for the mind. Andy Puddicombe's Headspace app offers guided sessions to over 1 million users across 150 countries. What's driving this? In our hyper-connected world, attention has fragmented and stress has skyrocketed. Mindfulness offers scientifically validated techniques for managing cognitive overload. The World Economic Forum featured 25 sold-out sessions on mindful leadership. Coca-Cola installed interactive vending machines in rival cities New Delhi and Lahore, requiring users to virtually touch hands with someone from the opposing nation for a free Coke. Elon Musk made hundreds of Tesla patents public, reasoning, "You want to be innovating so fast that you invalidate your prior patents." CVS stopped selling tobacco despite revenue loss. Starbucks committed to 100% ethically sourced coffee. Whole Foods CEO John Mackey championed conscious capitalism, operating with conscience even when costly. The data is compelling. 91% of consumers want products supporting worthy causes, 55% will pay extra for socially responsible products, and 72% believe businesses are failing society. Quietly supporting charities while keeping brands separate no longer works. Today's consumers expect companies to have values, take stands, and integrate social impact into their core business model. Samsung's Galaxy Studio in Soho doesn't sell anything. It's a showcase where people experience products before buying elsewhere. Bonobo built fitting rooms in their headquarters where customers try clothes but leave empty-handed, with purchases arriving home later. These rooms generated $1 million despite no one leaving with products. eBay's innovation chief believes a physical retail showroom will never go away because shoppers want to use all five senses, even as purchasing moves online. Instead of fighting showrooming, forward-thinking brands embraced it. Rebecca Minkoff's San Francisco store features magic mirrors where customers select fashions to try while ordering for home delivery. The store becomes an experience venue rather than a transaction location. When Oreo tweeted, "You can still dunk in the dark," during the Super Bowl blackout, it became more memorable than most expensive commercials. Why? It was perfectly timed, instantly digestible, and emotionally resonant. Everything great content needs when attention spans are measured in seconds. We're living in an online echo chamber where algorithms curate news feeds based on past behavior. The Spam newsletter gained over 500,000 subscribers by summarizing news with an irreverent voice that respects readers' time. The fundamental challenge: we're producing exponentially more content while human attention remains fixed. Content must now be engineered to capture immediate attention and deliver value quickly. Dating site data reveals something counterintuitive. People with polarizing looks receive 10% more messages than conventionally attractive people. We're drawn to the distinctive rather than the flawless. Ugg boots, literally named after Australian slang for ugly, became fashion icons partly because of their unconventional appearance. Wired's editor embraced wrong theory, intentionally making unconventional design choices like orange bars on covers and overlapping text. On Etsy, imperfection is integral to value. Handmade items' distinctiveness makes them desirable precisely because no one else will have anything similar. French supermarket Intermarché successfully marketed ugly produce, misshapen fruits and vegetables that taste identical to their prettier counterparts. The lesson? Purposeful imperfection can make products more distinctive, natural, and human. Flappy Bird, a simple game with 1990s-style graphics, became so addictive it ranked 5th in global Google searches for 2014, surpassing even the Olympic Games. Its creator eventually removed it from app stores, disturbed by how compulsively people were playing. We now understand the science of habit formation well enough to engineer addictive experiences intentionally. MIT professor Natasha Dow Scholl documented how slot machines are engineered to be addictive through continuous rapid wagering, ergonomic seating, and cash-free betting, generating 75% to 85% of casino revenues. Food manufacturers meticulously engineer products like Oreos with the perfect balance of sweetness, saltiness, and mouthfeel. But engineered addiction isn't inherently evil. Khan Academy uses badges and rewards to make learning addictive, incentivizing users to master topics and help others. The challenge is using this power responsibly, creating engagement that serves people rather than exploiting them. Your fitness tracker knows more about your sleep patterns than your doctor. Your smart thermostat understands your daily routines better than your family. Here's what's changed. This data belongs to you, not just to companies. We're transitioning from merely creating data through our behavior to becoming real-time consumers and owners of our own information. While companies traditionally focused on analyzing vast amounts of collected big data, the more valuable question now is, how can consumers be enticed to share their self-collected data to create unprecedented, customized experiences? Small data is often deeply personal with little value to anyone except the collector. Unlike big data, these personal collections allow immediate, meaningful insights about our lives and behaviors. As one analyst notes, big data is useless unless transformed into smart data that's contextual, relevant, and delivered to the right person at the right time. The world rewards those who see connections others miss, who notice that selfies aren't about vanity, but control, that meditation isn't about mysticism, but mental fitness, that imperfection isn't a flaw, but a feature. These insights don't require genius. They require practice. Start gathering observations today. Group them monthly. Look for underlying themes quarterly. Name the patterns you discover. Prove them with concrete examples. This process, repeated consistently, trains your brain to spot what's coming by mastering what's already here. You don't need to be a professional futurist or have massive data sets. You need curiosity that drives you to ask why things work as they do. You need observational skills that catch details others miss. You need discipline to collect ideas without immediately judging them. thoughtfulness to reflect before reacting, and elegance to describe complex patterns simply. These five habits, combined with the systematic haystack method, transform anyone into a capable trend curator. Every trend we've explored reveals the same truth. The best predictions come from exceptional observation of the accelerating present. The future isn't hiding somewhere out there. It's emerging right now in the patterns around us, visible to anyone who develops the right observational muscles and applies them consistently. Your future advantage lies not in predicting tomorrow, but in truly seeing today.